Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Hey folks, and welcome back. I've been away for a while, actually traveling for the last couple weeks, but we are back and ready to go. My family and I actually got to go out to the Pittsburgh area. College reunion for my wife at Grove City, and I think we actually picked up some new listeners from the Midwest, so welcome to all of her friends and from Georgia. But we had a great time. We went to Pittsburgh Steel and Coal Country. What a neat city. There's a bunch of rivers that come together there, and there's bridges all over the place, and we saw barges and trains carrying coal, and I got to point at all the coal and tell my kids, look, kids, President Obama and Democrats hate that stuff. Isn't that weird? What a good teaching opportunity. Anyway, yesterday was Columbus Day, and I wanted to talk about that. Happy Columbus Day. And that is a really undervalued holiday. In fact, it's been totally eclipsed in our culture, in our schools. They don't even celebrate it anymore. And Columbus Day is hated because it represents, in the left's mind, colonialism or the superiority of America. It represents white, racist, sexist, misogynistic, homophobic men exploiting the poor indigenous people around the world, right? They actually have replaced it with Indigenous Peoples Day, or they're trying to. Schools don't even give off for Columbus Day anymore. They've changed it to Indigenous Peoples Day on the calendar. That's what they call black and brown people. And I really can't stand that phraseology, POC, people of color, as though all of these world societal ills have been perpetrated against all people of color. Listen, it's a very narrow historical reality. African Americans were enslaved in American slavery. That's it. Americans and our heritage didn't do anything to brown people, all these melanin hues of melanin and skin color. It's just a narrative to try and support the blame America first ideology. We didn't do anything to people of color. It was African Americans who were enslaved in slavery. And by the way, thankfully, we dealt with that and got rid of it. Anyway, back to Columbus Day. Now we're celebrating Diwali, and Eid, Hindu holidays, Muslim holidays, getting off for that in our schools, but not Columbus Day. Well, why do we celebrate Columbus Day? Number one, let me give you three reasons. Number one, as Christians, we celebrate history. That's an important aspect of Christianity and a biblical worldview. As Christians, as biblicists, we create monuments. We remember, we memorialize important people and events in history because we express thankfulness to God. We learn from history. We see how God has moved in history. We give Him honor and we give respect to those who have gone before us and the accomplishments that they've made. It's a position of humility and gratitude. Israel did it all over the Old Testament. Every time a great moment happened, God would say, set up stones, set up an altar, set up a monument. Don't forget what I did and what happened before you. It reminds us, celebrating history, memorializing history, reminds us of who and what came before in order to keep us wise in the present. We learn. And we have gratitude and humility, as I said. Number two, we don't take a reductionist view of history. That's why we celebrate Columbus Day. What I mean by reductionist view is this superficial view that such and such person or so-and-so was bad and we can't mention him. And this person was totally good and we can mention them. And everything is completely simplified into bad or acceptable, like politically correct, trying to sanitize history. Listen, everyone in history, except for Jesus Christ, was a sinner. No one was perfect. We learn from that. Not even King David of Israel was perfect. But here's the view that we get of the reductionist view of Columbus. The Europeans came and butchered everyone and stole from the Indians. Meanwhile, the Indians were living peacefully in harmony with one another and with nature. Here's a more real approach and a real, not so superficial view. There was a clash of culture. With the arrival of Europeans, you had a clash of culture. Neither culture, no culture is perfect, and there were inevitable results. Sometimes there was peaceful interaction, like the Pilgrims and Thanksgiving, when they celebrated Thanksgiving with the Indians and had wonderful relationships with Indians like Squanto. Sometimes there was hostility from the Europeans, from the Indians. No one was perfectly innocent. Jonathan Edwards tells us that he was dealing with marauding Indians in the western frontier during his days. So there's definitely hostility coming from the Indians. And peacefully living in harmony with nature and with one another, all these Indian tribes, give me a break. Europeans like Cortez found Indians like the Aztecs sacrificing virgins and eating human hearts, cannibalism. They found absolute paganism. So this idea that the Indians were perfectly clean and washed and natural and peaceful and holy, and the dirty Europeans came and defiled everything, is complete nonsense. Also, the Indians didn't have a claim on every piece of land on two continents, an entire half of the earth, just because they were walking around there. You have to understand, they had an unsophisticated, underdeveloped view of property rights. They didn't have a biblical view of property rights. So what, because there were tribes, nomadic tribes roaming around, they owned the whole continent? Who? Which tribe owned all the continents, the whole continent, the entire Western Hemisphere? It doesn't make sense. They didn't have a Christian view of property rights. When the Europeans came, they brought that view. And in fact, this you miss in history as well. In a Northwest Ordinance of 1787, Thomas Jefferson, who helped write that, put into law, codified, the idea of reservations, which was saying, okay, we do have to respect some of the property rights of the Native Americans who were here before us, and they gave them reservations. And to be honest, was that even the best idea, to not bring them into American culture and civilization and civilize them? Because now look at reservations. There's poverty, drunkenness, drugs, gambling, unemployment. It's a train wreck. But my point in saying that is, we did try to respect, when we constituted America, the property rights of the Indians, but they certainly didn't own the whole continent. We can't be reductionist in our view of history. And lastly, Columbus is very important. Columbus represents a key moment in the advancement of Western civilization and the promulgation of Christianity and freedom throughout the earth. Do you know, you probably don't know this, his goal was evangelizing the uncivilized world and spreading the gospel of Christ. In part, Columbus functioned as a missionary, and he knew that. It was not stealing gold and enslaving and butchering the Indians. Let me read you a Columbus quote. He said this, quote, "It was the Lord who put into my mind, I could feel his hand upon me, the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. Our Lord Jesus desired to perform a very obvious miracle in the voyage to the Indies to comfort me and the whole people of God. The fact that the gospel must still be preached to so many lands in such a short time, this is what convinces me." What? Invoking God and Jesus and the spreading of the gospel as a main mission in his cause to go to the New World. Let me read more Columbus. "Also, those who heard about my enterprise rejected it with laughter, scoffing at me. But who doubts that this illumination was from the Holy Spirit? I attest that he, the Spirit, with marvelous rays of light, consoled me through the holy and sacred scriptures. They inflame me with a sense of great urgency. No one should be afraid to take on any enterprise in the name of our Savior if it is right and if the purpose is purely for his holy service. And I say that the sign which convinces me that our Lord is hastening the end of the world is the preaching of the gospel recently in so many lands." You've never heard that version of Columbus, have you? A missionary spreading the gospel. But we just are told Columbus was just forcing European culture and religion upon the innocent natives. He was an ethnocentrist, and that's a buzzword. But to this, as Christians, we answer a resounding to this question, are we ethnocentrists? Yes! When it comes to Christian culture versus pagan culture, Christian culture is superior by far. What does the Bible teach about culture? Were the native Indians innocent? Not at all. No culture is innocent. Is Christianity a superior culture to paganism? Absolutely. All men and tribes alike are under sin's power and condemnation. Read Romans 1, 18 and following. All men have exchanged the worship of God for the worship of idols. The world at the fall was plunged into spiritual ignorance, despair, darkness, judgment. And the light of the gospel brings deliverance from barbaric, ungodly living, a lot of which the Indians were participating in, like cannibalism, polygamy, and idol worship. The spread of Christianity, listen, is the spread of the civil society. The fruit of civilized Christian society is a blessing to any people, whether Europeans or Indians. The fruit of Christianity is things like literacy, a work ethic, charity, social order. We could go on and on. If spreading the fruit and light of the gospel makes me ethnocentric, so be it. I will take God's divine ethnicity, that is Jesus, over man's earthly ethnicity, which is Adam, any day of the week. The gospel can illuminate an entire tribe, culture, nation, continent, hemisphere, and world. And let me end with this. What is the legacy of the West? Just look at what we're celebrating when we're celebrating Columbus Day. Take note of this. 1456, you know that date? Johannes Gutenberg invented the printing press. And he said this, "Yes, it is a press, certainly, but a press from which shall flow in inexhaustible streams the most abundant and most marvelous liqueur that has ever flowed to relieve the thirst of men. Through it, God will spread his word. A spring of pure truth shall flow from it. Like a new star, it shall scatter the darkness of ignorance and cause a light hitherto unknown to shine among men." Gutenberg was talking about the Bible. He knew in 1456, when he invented the printing press, that the first thing that was going to be printed, and it was, and the thing that would be printed the most was the Word of God, to get it in the hands of men to save souls. 1492, Columbus. 20 or 30 years later, 1517, on October 31st, Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation. By 1620, about 100 years later, the Pilgrims land at Plymouth Rock and sign the Mayflower Compact, the first document of ordered civil liberty in the New World, establishing freedom and most especially religious freedom. We're not celebrating these great movements of God in human history and in time? This is crazy. Of course we celebrate Columbus and all of these wonderful accomplishments that led to the flowering of the West in the American Christian civilization. Praise God for that. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. Columbus was a hero. Columbus represents the advancement of Christianity and freedom in this world and should be memorialized and celebrated, not supplanted with some invented Indigenous Peoples Day in an effort to appease the politically correct crowd. Keep celebrating Christopher Columbus, America, and all of our great history.